Dr. Ward, you would agree, would you not, that any damage analysis or damage calculation only comes into play if the jury finds that Dr. Zarnik was wrongfully terminated?
I assume so.
You are an expert economist.
Right.
You've dealt with these issues before. Isn't it correct that in cases such as these, alleged wrongful termination damages are only relevant if the termination itself was wrongful?
If there's some liability found. I don't know whether that's the only liability issue here or not.
So in this case, if the jury were to find that Dr. Zarnik was wrongfully terminated, and if the jury were to find that Dr. Zarnik would still be employed today but for that wrongful termination, then you agree with Brian Brinig's number in Scenario 1?
Well, except for this issue of the 100,000 shares about which I don't know anything.
There's a separate issue as to whether he should have been given that 100,000 shares?
That's my understanding.
If there's liability on that issue, then you agree that Mr. Brinig's conclusion as to Scenario 1 is the correct number?
There's nothing wrong with the mathematics under the assumptions that he made.
So the only difference you would have with Mr. Brinig as to Scenario 1 is whether you should assume Dr. Zarnik would only be employed for another 6 months, or whether you should assume that Dr. Zarnik would still be employed but for the alleged wrongful termination.
I think that mischaracterizes...
Is that correct?
I think that mischaracterizes the testimony.
I think it's cross-examination. The witness can answer that.
Well, assuming that he would have been employed indefinitely, then that's... And assuming that the 100,000 share block was due him, let me think if there's something else. There's a discount for marketability that occurs in the future for his future, and I guess I would have the same problem with that number as I have with the other problems with restricted stock. So as far as the past loss goes, assuming Dr. Zarnik worked up to today, I don't have any problem with that number aside from the 100,000 share issue.
Okay. And that's the 1,652,000?
Right. The future has the same issue of valuing restricted shares.
How would you go about valuing the future shares?
I don't know, because there's no market for these things.
You don't have any way to value it. Is that what you're saying?
I don't. What I can say is that the discount number that Mr. Brinig used is too low. It should be higher than that. But I don't know by how much.
I was going to ask you that. What was the appropriate percentage?
I don't know. It's like saying if you don't have data to analyze it, then you really can't say anything about it.
But they are shares in a publicly traded company, are they not?
But they are not publicly tradable as far as he's concerned.
I understand, but they are shares in a public company.
Correct.
So they have some significant value, wouldn't you agree?
Well, they have value. But he has to work there, supply his effort, do all the things he needs to do in his position to earn those shares. He hasn't earned them yet.
It comes back to my mind this is relevant only if a jury finds he was wrongfully terminated in the first place.
And he would not have been terminated at any point between the time he was terminated and today.
And you picked 6 months simply because Miss Kearns told you 6 months?
Correct.
You have no opinion whether 6 months is reasonable or not reasonable.
I do not.
Did you take into account, Dr. Ward, that no senior managers of Illumina have left the company since the company has gone public?
I haven't. I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
I asked every one of the senior managers who testified at this trial whether they had any plans to leave Illumina. Everyone answered no. Would you take that into account at all in doing your analysis?
Objection, Foundation?
Foundation as to?
He was asking whether this witness took into account testimony given by senior managers in this trial. This witness was not present during any of that testimony.
Did you take into account, Dr. Ward, whether any of Illumina's senior managers left or intended to leave the company since it's gone public?
I haven't taken into account anything regarding any senior managers.
You mentioned it with respect to Dr. Zarnik's options at his current employer. You understand that that's a private company, do you not?
Correct.
You understand that there's no market whatsoever
it's
for...
It's just like Illumina was before it went public.
As far as you know, it's worth a penny a share?
Same deal.
Do you have any way to put any value whatsoever on options that Dr. Zarnik has in his current employment that relate to a private company?
No. I mean, let me answer this way. I don't have the information to do that. In theory, you could try to value a closely held company and determine the value of a share in that closely held company, but I don't have the information to do that.
Even in a situation where there's no market whatsoever for the shares?
It gets to be a problem, but people do it.
But you are not able to do it?
No.
Now, Mr. Brinig told the jury that in Scenario 1, he did take into account the lockup, and you think that was appropriate to do so, don't you?
Yes.
He also told the jury he took into account the trading windows, and you think that was appropriate to do as well?
Yes.
Do you recall I asked you some questions at your deposition about Mr. Brinig's analysis, and you told me Mr. Brinig adds and subtracts with the best of them?
He does.
Adding and subtracting is a pretty fundamental part of getting expert economic analysis, isn't it?
Yes.
Looking at your summary, would you mind sliding down here?
Sure.
What did you calculate to be the number of shares Dr. Zarnik had free and clear when he left Illumina's employment?
Shares released prior to 173,000.
173,000 shares. If he had worked 6 months, only 6 months under your assumption, he would have earned how many more shares that would not have been subject?
I think it's not subject to repurchase.
What's this? Shares purchasable by Illumina at employment end.
Had he gone another 6 months, he would have had, instead of repurchasing 226, they would have only been able to purchase 186. So the difference is the gain that he has over that.
Let's take a look, please, at the first page of your report, Exhibit 377. This is a narrative report that you wrote?
Right.
In this report, where you say as of that date, and that date being the end of the six-month period, third line on the second page?
Right.
Is that the date you were referring to?
Right.
So as of a date that was 6 months after his termination, you state that a total of 186,000 shares would have been released to Dr. Zarnik. That's not correct, is it?
No, that should say repurchased by the company.
What is the actual number of shares that would have been released as of that date?
213,333.00.
So it's just an error?
The words are wrong.
Did you write this report?
Yes.
Looking at the last paragraph, what is the reference to May 4th, 2001?
It should be 6 months after he was terminated. Is that right? He was terminated September 4th.
What's the significance of May 4th?
That's 6 months later.
Not by my calendar.
No, it isn't. That's wrong. 6 months should be March 4th.
Now, for Scenario 2, your dispute with Mr. Brinig is whether a marketability discount should be applied at all.
Well, it's not clear that there is any market to which a discount should be applied. It's kind of what I'm saying. There is no number out there that would be appropriate.
So the bottom line that you are taking here is that he should not have applied any marketability discount at all in Scenario 2?
We don't know what it is, but it's certainly the numbers that are in that study.
That's your only dispute with Scenario 2?
That it doesn't make any sense, yeah.
Do you know whether any other Illumina senior managers were fired during the lockup period after the IPO?
I don't.
You mentioned that under the terms of Dr. Zarnik's agreement, every time your purchase rights lapse, a new certificate should have been issued.
If they were released and, well, there's another condition. I think he has to ask for it, but the escrow officer would reissue shares.
Do you know if that's how it worked? If the new certificates were issued to Illumina employees every month when they vested into additional shares?
I don't think that's what it says. They could, if my reading of it is, if you ask for it, you could have it that way.
Nothing further. Thank you, Dr. Ward.
Just a few items, Dr. Ward.